There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. No other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You want to get to the Father? You got to go through Jesus. Is it narrow? Absolutely. But you don't get there any other way except through the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
When it comes to being a fisher of men, there's one solid truth about being an effective soul winner for Jesus Christ. We don't do the catching. That's God's department, better known in biblical terms as conversion. But it is our responsibility to throw out the line in proclaiming to others the way to God. Today, from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey will give us some scriptural pointers on how to be a fisher of people, and it starts with not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. As we continue our studies in the book of Acts, we'll be jumping into chapter 4 and draw insight from Peter, a man who caught his fair share of fish, as well as people. So with today's lesson, from Faith to Faith in Acts chapter 4, here's Pastor Henry.
In Acts chapter 4, we have a tremendous chapter. This is one of the greatest chapters to me in all of Scripture. I mean these first few chapters in the book of Acts. It's dynamite, literally, because the word for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you shall receive power. And that word is dunamis, and it's dynamite, these few chapters here, when the Lord pours out His Spirit upon that early church. It is awesome what God did through this man, Peter, who denied Jesus just a few days before, and who was weak and depressed and down and just crushed. And this man comes back, built up by the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching one mighty sermon after another, and thousands of people getting saved. That shows you what God can do. God can do that with us in our weakness. His strength is made perfect. And also through the power of His Spirit, He can do it. Now, in the last chapter, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going into the temple, and there was a lame man there who had been lame from the womb. He had never walked. He was crippled, and they took him there daily to the temple. They laid him there, and he was a beggar. He asked alms of people coming into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John, he looked at them, just glanced at them, and, you know, please give me some money. And Peter then said, I don't have any money, but what I do have I'll give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter grabbed him by the hand, and that's another example. That's another little thing for us in faith. You know, when you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, you need to grab them by the hand and help them in their faith to do that. I see some faith healers today saying, oh, well, you didn't get healed because you didn't have the faith. Well, I say, you didn't grab them by the hand. You know, if you really believed what you were saying, grab them by the hand and go for it, you know. So Peter grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up, and his ankle bones were strengthened, his feet were strengthened, and he was walking and leaping and praising God. Well, Peter preached a mighty sermon concerning that to the people there. Well, when all this commotion was heard by the religious leaders, they came to that area to see what was going on, and they saw what had happened, and we'll pick it up in chapter 4 here. So we have now, in this chapter, the first persecution of the church. By the way, let me say something about persecution before we get into that chapter. I don't enjoy persecution, but Jesus said we're going to have it. Jesus said, in this world you will have persecution, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you stand up for Jesus Christ, somebody's going to try to knock you down. That's going to happen. And you will be persecuted if you stand up for Jesus Christ. If you've never been persecuted for Christ's sake, then analyze your life whether you've ever stood up for Him, whether you've ever really had a witness or testimony. I don't say that to condemn you or to criticize you. I say that to you, analyze yourself. Just take a look and say, am I really being faithful to the Lord? Do I take the opportunity to speak when He gives me that opportunity to speak? You will be persecuted. but it's okay. He will be with you. He will take care of you. And he can use you in some mighty ways, as we'll see right here. So this first persecution of the early church. So Peter now, as they spoke unto the people, Peter was preaching to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold even unto the next day, for it was now evening. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass the next day that their rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined by of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught by you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so in these first few verses now, we have these leaders here, the Sadducees now, or the ones that came. The Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. They didn't really believe the Bible. They were the religious leaders, the family of the high priests. They were Sadducees, but they didn't believe the scriptures, certain of the scriptures. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And yet the Bible clearly teaches that in the Old Testament scriptures, by the way, several places. I've talked to Jewish people, modern day Sadducees, that don't believe in life after death. They don't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did, by the way. The Pharisees of that day did believe the scriptures, did believe in resurrection. And that was a contention between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We often talk about them in one breath, but they weren't together at all. They were enemies of each other. They only got together against Jesus. But they weren't together. So the Pharisees did believe these things. The Sadducees did not. Now, is the resurrection taught in the Old Testament scriptures? Yes, it is. Daniel taught it in Daniel chapter 12. He talked about standing up at the last days and those that were the believers would be enter into the kingdom and the unbelievers would not. Daniel spoke of it. Isaiah spoke of it. And Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, he spoke of the resurrection, that thy dead men shall live, he said. And Job spoke of it. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth. And at the latter day, he shall stand upon this earth. And though after my flesh, worms will destroy this body," he said, "worms are going to destroy, I'm going to corrupt, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Job believed in the resurrection, that one day he would be resurrected and he would see God in his flesh. Yes, it's taught throughout the Old Testament scriptures, but the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So that's why it says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead, they got upset. And so they came and they laid hands on them and put them in hold. Hold was jail, or what would be jail today. Put them in jail until the next day, for it was now evening. So it was late in the day. They couldn't have a trial at night. And that was illegal, although they tried Jesus at night. That was illegal procedure. And so they put them in jail until the next day. Now, it goes on to say in verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. So we've got a tremendous revival going on here. People coming to Jesus Christ in droves. And these religious leaders, they don't know what to do. They're going nuts. They're beside themselves. They're the ones that are in charge of religion here. And people are, and it's out of control, out of their control. It's under God's control, and they don't like it. So about 5,000 got saved. And then it says, it came to pass the next day that their rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John, this is not John the apostle now, this is the family of the high priest, and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So the family of the high priest and they were all gathered together against the apostles now. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, "By what power or by what name have you done this? Have you done this?" That sounds like a very innocent question, doesn't it? By what name did you do this? What power did you do this? What power were we using? Let me read to you from Deuteronomy. Even though they didn't believe a lot of the scriptures, they are now very craftily trying to get an occasion against him. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1, starting in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, where have he spoken to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is proving you, testing you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And he goes on to say, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. So what are the Sadducees thinking here? They are teaching another God. This Jesus is another God. And so therefore, if they say that that by the power of this Jesus, we're going to stone them and put them to death because they are leading men to worship another God. But Peter answers their question here in a very, very powerful way. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, I thought Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. What's it say here? Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. What's this telling us? You can get a fresh anointing. You may have been baptized with the Holy Spirit years ago, but you can receive a fresh anointing. And you may have been saved years ago, but you know you can get excited about Jesus Christ today. I hear a lot of people talking about the glorious past when they got saved, but they're not talking about what God is doing today in their lives. And what he's doing today is the most important thing. I mean, I love what God did with my life in the past, but that's the past. I'm living in the present. We tend to live in the past or the future, don't we? Oh, the good old glory days. Or, oh man, one day I'm going to heaven. But we don't want to live right now today where we say, let's go for it today. Let's see what God's going to do today. Let's go preach it and teach it right now and see what happens. Let's make ourselves available. Well, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, so he has this fresh anointing upon him, ready to speak, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So he's speaking to them all. You're the elders. You're the rulers. We understand that. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this crippled man, by what means he is made whole, how is he healed? So here's Peter's point. He says, you know, this is not something evil that was done. This is something good. Here is a man that was lame, had never walked, was crippled from his birth, had never walked, and now he's healed, and we're on trial for that. We're on trial for doing a good work, for this man being healed, and that's why you're calling this into question. So if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this man, by what means he is whole, let me tell you why and how. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. Look at the boldness of Peter. Look at the boldness. You know, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he begins to speak, and he says, this is the name by which this man stands before you whole, and he's the one whom you crucified. You crucified. Peter was not afraid of these men. He was not afraid. He was bold. He knew that the Holy Spirit was upon him, the anointing of the Lord was upon him, and he speaks God's truth here. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of who? Jesus. Now, he gives him a title here that they would have denied, but Jesus Christ. The word Christ is the word that we use. The word in the Greek is Christos. That's where we get our word Christ. The word in the Hebrew is what? Messiah. He is proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, the Bible scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, had said repeatedly that one day the Messiah is coming. One day he is coming. Daniel spoke of that day. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of the Old Testament scriptures spoke of the coming of the Messiah. And Peter is proclaiming here now that Jesus of Nazareth is Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the anointed one. And that's what it literally means, the anointed one. So Peter is saying, I am not preaching to you some strange new God that you can take me out and stone me. I am preaching to you the anointed one promised by God in the scriptures. And you should have known who he was, and you crucified him. Wow. Boldness. Boldness. So let it be known to you by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Now that's the next thing. You put him to death, God raised him from the dead. And that's something that a false prophet had never done, by the way. No false prophet ever raised the dead. And he said, God raised him from the dead. And so even by him, by this name, does this man stand before you whole, healed. This is what has healed this man, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You think I'm leading after another God? No, this is a God of the Bible. This is a God of the Old Testament who promised the anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus. He is the one, by him does this man stand before you whole. And then He said, this is the stone which was set at naught by you builders. And so this is a stone which you builders, you religious leaders, you're the ones that are supposed to build up the nation in the Lord through the teaching of the word of God. You builders rejected him and you cast him aside and you crucified him. This is a stone which was set aside by you builders and it's become what? The chief cornerstone. It's the chief cornerstone. Wow. What a powerful, powerful testimony against the enemies of the gospel. You did it. You sinned. You crucified him. You judged him guilty of death. And this man is the chief cornerstone. And they would have known that psalm very well. That's Psalm 118. Psalm 118, I believe it's verse 22. But anyway, he says, this is the one that you set aside, you rejected, you crucified him. And he is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone of God's building. Now, what is he going to say in verse 12? Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name. There is no other name by which we have salvation. That's what he says next. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. Did you hear that? Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, you know, not even Jehovah. Not even Jehovah. The Jehovah's Witnesses knock on a lot of doors saying, we have good news. We want to tell you about Jehovah. Well, it says the name of Jesus Christ is the name by which we must be saved. Now, that's a contraction, Jehovah Shua, Jehovah saves, but I submit to you that not even the name of Jehovah will save us because they're not saved. They're not saved. That's another Jesus that they're teaching and preaching. As the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, there is another Jesus. And who is that other Jesus? The other Jesus is defined differently from the one in the Bible because our Bible says that Jesus is God. Our Bible says that God is made up of a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet the cults all deny that. And so, not even the name of Jehovah. There is no other name except the name of Jesus Christ. Well, you might say it's translated different ways in different languages. True. I agree with that. Yeshua HaMashiach in the Hebrew and Yesu Christos in other languages. So yes, there's different ways it's translated, but that name of Jesus as revealed to us in the Bible is that name that unlocks the power of God. And Jesus said we're to pray to the Father in His name, in the name of Jesus. You want to be heard, pray in the name of Jesus. Now this is pretty narrow, isn't it? This is very narrow-minded. Anybody think this is broad-minded? Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. We get accused of being narrow-minded and exclusive. And by the way, it's going to get worse, those accusations. As I see the things that are going on in our nation today, the way these men are resisting the early believers, we're going to see the same things in our nation in the future. We've seen the beginning of it, but it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. We're going to need boldness in these last days. I'll tell you, the day is coming when they will say to me from the pulpit that I can't speak against homosexuality because that's a hate crime. That day is coming. And what do you think I'm going to do that day? I'm going to teach you right out of Romans chapter 1. I'm going to teach the Bible. I'm going to teach it. If I have to go to jail, I'll go to jail. And there will come a day when they'll say to the pastors of this land, you know, you people keep insisting that Jesus is the only way. And you know, that is not broad enough. That's not inclusive enough. And you're intolerant. Tolerance seems to be the word of the day, doesn't it? We've got to tolerate everybody. We've got to accept everybody just the way they are. Don't tell them about sin. People don't want to hear about their sin, so don't tell them about sin, and you've got to be tolerant. I'll be in trouble that day too, because I'm not gonna be tolerant. Somebody that tells me there's another way other than Jesus Christ, and I'm gonna tell you about sin. But people don't want to hear about their sins. But we need to know about our sins, and we need to repent of our sins. We definitely need to know that Jesus is the only way. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is narrow, and I admit it. I'm narrow-minded. I am very narrow-minded when it comes to Jesus Christ, and we must be. We must be, because that's the essence of our faith, is the name of Jesus. That is a name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. No other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You want to get to the Father? You got to go through Jesus. Is it narrow? Absolutely. But you don't get there any other way except through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And by the way, we didn't even talk about salvation. But salvation, what is salvation? Salvation is belonging to God. What is life eternal? This is life eternal, Jesus said in John 17, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So when you know Jesus, you know the Father. And when you know the Son, you know the Father. And the Son comes into your life and into your heart, and the Father comes in too. Jesus said, I am in you, and you're in me, and we're in the Father. And that's what salvation is all about. That's what eternal life is all about. Yes, I will live forever with God in heaven, in glory with Him, and in the New Jerusalem when that comes. But eternal life, I've got eternal life right now. You say, wait a minute, you're going to die in a few years. I'm going to die physically. I'm going to live forever, ever spiritually. I'm not looking to medicine to keep me alive eternally. I'm looking to Jesus. And I already have that eternal life. It's promised to me. And that life is in the Son. So there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and let me tell you something about boldness. Boldness is not pride. Boldness is not being lifted up with pride. Boldness is knowing Jesus and being bold in proclaiming Him. They're not proclaiming themselves. They're proclaiming Christ. And that's what boldness is all about. A matter of fact, I would say boldness and humility go together. Wow, it doesn't seem like it, does it? Boldness and humility go, but they do. These are humble men. Peter especially has been humbled, all that he went through, denying Jesus and all that. And he learned what humility was in the midst of all that. But now he is very bold. You can be bold and humble at the same time, because humble is submission to Christ in the Christian definition. And I'm submitted to Him, but I am bold in proclaiming His word. I'm bold. So now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. So they were amazed. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So, as we go through these next few scriptures, starting in verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they thought several things about them. Number one, they said they were unlearned and ignorant men. Is that true? Anybody who's been with Jesus for 3 years is not unlearned and ignorant. That is the greatest master teacher of all time. And I think the master teacher picked the pupils. I've got the best pupils. You know, I was going to say, you look at those guys and the mistakes they made, but they were the best ones. They were the best ones because Jesus picked them, and He knew what He was doing.
Well, you know, if you got Jesus in your life, it's going to show itself eventually, because God has given to us His nature and His heart in caring for others. And it's true that our actions do speak louder than our words, as Pastor Henry has been teaching us in Acts chapter 4.
If this is your first time tuning in, first of all, we want to thank you for taking the time to hear the program today. And if you're interested in knowing more about the radio ministry, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, that's 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Thomasville in Georgia.
soul with all my heart.